What's up, friends? Chase Acuna here, and today we jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, when I preach at church, I've found that there are often two temptations that can happen almost immediately after delivering the message. One is to get puffed up after, or two is to feel embarrassed or ashamed after, depending on how I felt I did. Now, on the surface, they may seem to be very different temptations, but over time, I've realized they actually share the same root of thinking too highly of oneself, which is ultimately pride. And here's the thing, choosing the pathway of pride is a very dangerous path to walk. So what does Paul have to say about this? Well, let's check it out in verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. So Paul could have demanded that the Corinthians respect him as a spiritual father, prophet, or leader. But instead, he tells the Corinthians that he and Apollos, two of the celebrities the church was fighting over, were nothing more than servants of Christ. And the word Paul uses for servant here actually speaks of one that asks no questions. The servant does what is required of him and reports directly and only to his master. So Paul wasn't worried about what the Corinthian church thought of him. Instead, he looked only to God. Verse 3. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So growing up as a kid in the 90s who was also a hip-hop fan, man, I often heard the words that only God could judge me thrown around. Maybe some of you guys remember that. But is that what Paul is saying here in the text? Did Paul really have no regard for what others thought about him? We know that Paul can't mean that we don't have to care about what other people think about us. Romans 15 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up." So what does Paul mean? Well, Paul was a servant of God. His goal wasn't to please man, but rather his master. It was to Jesus Christ that Paul would have to give an account, not the other servants. But part of what Jesus commanded Paul and us is to have regard for others, especially those who are weaker in the faith than we are. We should ensure that we're held in high regard by others, not to receive their glory and honor, instead so that Christ might receive glory and honor. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So when Jesus comes and judges our actions, it will be according to the motive of our hearts. You know, we can do all the right things, preach the gospel, feed the hungry, care for the orphan and widow, tithe and go to church, but we can actually do them for the wrong reason. God will reveal our motives. Now, brothers and sisters, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you'll not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. Now, if we're honest, we'll admit we judge each other all the time, often for things that are not biblically based. You know, we judge success of some ministries as sellouts. We fight with other denominations, spending untold resources writing blogs and creating YouTube videos to point out all the problems with other believers. But do you see how ridiculous this is? It would be like the army shooting at Air Force planes because pilots fight differently than soldiers. We're on the same team. We should be supporting each other in our fight against the enemy, not against one another. I once heard a great preacher say, "People are the prize, not the enemy. Satan is the real enemy." Paul continues, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" When I think back on my life and who I used to be before becoming a believer and then who I am now, guess what the difference is? It's Jesus. It's all about what God has done for me. And if it has all come from God, then what do I have to boast about? Seriously, there's nothing good in me except what I've received from God. And in that, I can glory. In this section, Paul's wanting the believers in Corinth also to understand this. If what one has in Christ is all because of God's grace, then they really have nothing boastworthy about them, and then should glory then in him alone. As we move on, this next passage makes me wonder if Paul was actually an American, because he lays the sarcasm on pretty thick. Verse 8. Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You've begun to reign, and that's without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. You have it all, Paul says. Isn't it funny that we apostles have nothing? Paul here is trying to shake the church out of its proud way of thinking. Verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're so strong. You're honored and we're dishonored. To this hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We're brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. So instead of being full rich royals, the apostles were on display as a spectacle to the world. When the Romans won a military victory, the general often returned with a lavish display. They would lead a procession through the streets, followed by their victorious troops and the loot they captured. At the end of the parade would come the captured enemy soldiers brought back to be used in the gladiator games. Paul compares himself and the other apostles to these gladiators, scorned and publicly humiliated, the very opposite of the Corinthians' pride. As Paul describes his ministry, he focuses on humility and lack, which the Corinthians avoided at all costs. For the Greeks in Corinth, hard work was for slaves. If attacked or ridiculed, you had to fight back or be seen as weak. Too often today, we want to display our worldly success and power. And if not checked, we can almost all be susceptible to this. But Paul says in verse 16 that we should imitate him. But his resume includes being arrested, beaten, driven out of town, stoned to death, shipwrecks, snake bites, assassination plots, and more. And me? I at times can find myself so self-consumed and discouraged if I didn't hear enough people saying good job after teaching a message. But here's the thing. We fall into a dangerous trap when our goal is the popularity, reputation, acclaim, and comfort the world offers, rather than our greatest aim being to please our master. We want the power of the Lord, but are unwilling to pay the cost. But Paul calls us to something more. Verse 16, therefore I urge you to imitate me. Simple, yes. Difficult, also yes. But this is where we find the power to do what God has called us to do. That's it for today, friends. Join us tomorrow as we jump into chapter 5 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.